Okay, wait, it's just working, starting recording. There we go, we are recording. Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to episode 4 of the London Day Game podcast. It's the podcast about London Day Game that has London Day Gamers in it. But today we've got a special guest, like we have on every episode, we've got a very special guest. His name is Mr. Crazy Cock PUA. If you want to say hello, Mr. Crazy Cock.
Yeah, hello.
So, what's especially interesting about Mr. Should I call you Mr. CC then?
Yeah,
Or
CC.
CC, okay. What's especially interesting about Mr. CC is that he is doing the London Day Game model style, but he is out on the west coast of America. So
Yeah.
one thing we really want to dig into in today's podcast is the differences between day game in Europe and day game in America, and dig into American girls, maybe see if they respond to anything differently, if they act in a certain way, all that kind of stuff. So, Mr. CC, let's begin with you. So let's just hear, say, like, how long you've been day gaming for, how you got into the game, what interested you about day game to begin with.
Yeah, man. So I've been day gaming for about a year and a half now. I had pretty much my whole life I'd wanted to do game, and I'm in my mid-20s. So I originally like stumbled onto game when I was in high school. I think I was like 16.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like trying to figure out how to talk to this girl I thought was cute. And and it went awful. But I did come across, some material and started doing like these meditations for inner game, trying to like fix some bad beliefs and stuff,
Yeah, that's quite early then, isn't it? Like you found out about game when you were 16.
Yeah, I think I was that young, yeah.
Wow,
And
so
I guess that is young. It never seemed that way to me. And I'd tell my friends about it, and they kind of thought it was weird that I was looking this up and stuff, but I can't believe more guys haven't done that, like, 'cause it was just like a Google search I did.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I first heard about, well, actually, the first thing I knew about pickup was, do you remember the show How I Met Your Mother?
Oh yeah.
So it was the Barney Stinson character that introduced me to a pickup artist. Because in that show, he is based on people like Mystery, but turned up to a different degree. And obviously, it's a TV show, so it's supposed to be funny. But he was my first sort of exposure to pickup. But it wasn't until I were, and I started watching that show about the same age, like 16. But I only really read my first proper pickup thing, which was The Game, when I was maybe 21 or 22. I was at university. Yeah, and even then, I didn't start practicing game until I was about 23. So you were actually 16. And you were using some inner game techniques. Were you using any of the outer game, the techniques, the conversational tools and stuff with girls at your school?
Man, so when I was 16, I was like, just invisible to girls. But so I remember I read one outer game technique, and it was to when you're talking to her, you should use words like we and us,
I
so that way
remember
she starts. Yeah,
she
you know
starts.
about that one? Yeah, so I took like I stressed about it for like 2 weeks trying to figure out how I'd work that into a conversation with this girl, because I needed to like control the whole thing. And after like a month of stressing, I asked her one day. I said, "Hey, how are you liking Latin class?" Because that was the class we were in together. And she told me whatever. And then I go, "Oh, well, that's the both of us." I say, like, big success, And then I went back to looking at the front of the
Yeah.
room.
Wait, what do you mean? Surely you mean that basically made her panties drop immediately and she was yours after that.
Yeah, I planted the seed. It was gonna happen at any point then, right?
This kind of reminds me of something I remember hearing on one of them on Roosh's old podcast. The funny thing is that people who are in the Red Pill community, the Manosphere now, they look at Roosh and they think, oh, he's just the guy who went Christian.
Oh, yeah.
I actually think he had some good game advice in the past. If you can somehow get a hold of his book called, I think it's just called Game. It's quite good, actually. Have a read of it. It's a different style to what we were doing LDM, like London Day Game Model. It's more indirect, but there are some things in there where he makes some really good points. But anyway, I remember Roosh was doing a podcast about the history of pickup, and he was talking about NLP techniques and say to the girl, the chair is below me. She is supposed to hear below me. So, you know, it's just like this pickup just works, right? Yeah. So that was when you sort of first encountered the Red Pill. What about Day Game, you know, as we know it?
Yeah. So I actually came across Roosh's website, Return of Kings. So I was like reading that, and I bought his books, Bang and Day Bang, I think it's called.
That was his branding. Everything was Bang. It was the same day Bang. It was the same day D Bang. You know, first date Bang, etc.
Yeah. So I was into his stuff, and but I really didn't have the balls to really push it, you know. Like, I remember I went out one day later on in my like early 20s to go do some sets, and I did one set. It took like quite a lot of energy to get that one set done, and it went good.
It's good.
And then, but then nothing. Until like a year ago, like 2 years ago, I was like stoned with some friends and like realizing how long I've been putting all this off. And it like terrified me, you know? So I like made a note in my phone. It was like, all right, meet with Nick Krauser. Any cost, you know, any cost, cover it, you know?
But maybe we should highlight that to the listeners, which was that, so me and Mr. CC met in Kiev last year, where he was taking residential with Krausen.
Yeah.
So that was your first, that was like your first taste of European day game. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. And I did start day gaming before that. So I'd got like a good year in of approaches. I had hit my 1,000 sets. And Ukraine was my first taste of game outside of my city on the west coast here.
Just one thing I want to dial in on there. Did you say that in your first year you did 1,000 sets?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I actually think that's fantastic. It does make me wonder sometimes if I meet someone who's been doing day game for a number of years, but they've still not hit 1,000 sets yet. And it's probably because they're a bit of what I would call like a fair weather day gamer. They're the sort of guy who goes out maybe once, maybe twice a week during the spring and summer, and they never fully commit to it. But as has been the advice for a long time, is always it's best to just be a true obsessive in the first 2 years. And I'm the same as you. I think actually I did even more. In my first full calendar year, I did 1,400 sets.
Yeah, holy fuck.
Yeah. But the thing is, I wasn't ever spamming. So my key was this, was like, I would always go out and do 10 sets. So if that took me 2 hours, right, if it took me 3 hours, it didn't matter. I'd always do 10 sets. And I was Mr. Consistent. So I was going out 3 times a week, doing 10 sets, or maybe 4 times a week, doing maybe 8 sets, let's say. So I was just consistently doing those 30 whatever sets each week, again and again. And it's a bit like how, you know, if you go to the gym, the first time you go to the gym, you get newbie gains. And you know, if you work out really consistently when you're just starting to lift weights, you can make some really good gains if you go there consistently, because you're just putting in lots of sets and growing. So that's really good as well that you did those 1,000 sets in the first year, because it makes you so much better. And in that year as well, it just gives you that opportunity to get some positive reference experiences and take advantage of the fact that, you know, when you start day game, you're just like enthusiastic, do it. It feels really good. It can feel fun. And once you break through the AA, it's amazing. It's like this whole new hobby that takes over your life.
Yeah, yeah.
So how was, before we come back to your trip to Kiev, how was the first year doing it in your city in Western, on the West Coast?
Yeah, it was, it was like a crazy year, you know? It was like, I remember thinking many times during that year that like, holy shit, this is the best year of my life. Even though it was like a pretty shitty year too, you know, it's like a lot of nights it'd be me and my wing having beers by the lake, you know, cussing these girls.
But so, which year, by the way, which year was your, was that in 2020 or 2021?
Oh yeah. So whatever year COVID started, I started during COVID. So
wow.
I think that was 2020, right?
Yeah. So that's like doubly impressive then. You managed to get those sets in during COVID.
Oh yeah. 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 I was religious about it. It was, I don't know. I felt like I was like running from some sort of, you know, some terrible life that I would have otherwise. And, and I put my 10 pennies in my pocket. Uh-huh. I really stuck to the Krauser's method, you know. Uh-huh. I was going out with, so it started with like a little crew of guys.
Yeah.
And they were into like Todd V, like they all liked American pickup. Mm-hmm. And, so they were like trying different stuff and trying to pull me into what they were doing. But I always just really stuck to what Krauser was saying. Cause fuck, when I was starting out, I was like, my AA was like very high and it was like, all right, I just need to really build up these basics, you know? Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say, could you say like, without like, say, criticizing one school of game, what was it that drew you to say Krauser's or the London Day Game Model style of doing game?
I'm not totally sure, but I knew I had to just pick one thing and stick with it, you know. Like I knew if I was jumping around to stuff, I'd get confused and no one would be able to answer my questions. So that's, I knew it's almost like a fighting style, right? Like they all have to work, but you can't learn them all at once.
Mm. No, that makes total sense though, to be honest, because I think there's a lot of beginners out there who say they're gonna start with one guy's content. They're gonna learn from one guy. And then they think that they're gonna jump to another guy and it's gonna be like Shangri-La. You know, they're gonna just start being in pussy paradise wherever they go. It's not really going to change anything. You've just got to stick at one thing and learn. You know, you see it with guys who are, they're not doing well with day game, so they think, oh, I'm just going to change to bar game, or I'm going to change to online, or change to night game, or social circle, or like they have this little hack that they're going to start doing. But at the end of the day, you just have to, you really do just have to put the hard miles in and mm-hmm. and get the 1,000 set apprenticeship done. So it's really good that you got it out of the way so quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I know it kind of happened when I think back on it now. Like I grabbed onto day game just like right at the perfect time for myself, you know. Mm-hmm. Cuz I had been into athletics a lot in my youth and I wasn't very athletic. But like I really worked hard to try and make the football team. I thought I was going to get laid if I played football. so like I busted ass to make the football team. And then I actually got to a decent skill level with it and through dedication. So I knew I had the right mentality when it comes to learning something when I picked up day game, you know.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense then. Yeah. There are some guys, I guess, this gets thrown around a lot. Sometimes we'll call others no hopers in quotes. In terms of some guys have this capacity to learn that others don't. some guys have the persistence, some guys have the sort of determination to succeed, and some don't. But I mean, the only way you can find out is by trying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let me know about your trip then to Kiev quickly, and the sort of things that hit you when you came to Europe to do day game the first time.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the trip to Kiev was huge for me because gaming here on the West Coast of America, I think in America in general, kind of the West in general, and then the West Coast is like the furthest West you can get in the world, right? So, So gaming out here is like really volatile. You can't, I really had no idea if I was doing anything right because the reactions I would get were all so mixed and unique, you know?
Yeah.
And it was really nice because in Kiev, the girls would actually kind of react with some predictability. It was like they game kind of worked at like a chess system would, you know, instead of getting random moves thrown at me. Huh. I could actually start to work out positions and things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes sense.
Yeah, and it was really good because I was really concerned about my game ability. And then going to Kiev was like, oh wow, okay, I got this. And then the girls are also just wonderful there, and they're super hot, like just tons of fucking hot girls. It was crazy. Like the first night I got there, I was like walking down the street. I wasn't going to do any sets, but I just wanted to feel out the street, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh god, there's a set, you know? Oh, there's another set. And it was like they were just raining towards me, you know, like I was like, and it went on for what seemed like forever. I was just like walking past great sets for what seemed like a mile, you know. And
yeah.
I was like, where the hell am I, you know? Like, this is unreal.
Yeah, so. That's how it can be. It can be in these places. Mm-hmm. So when we're saying like you're seeing sets, do you mean like you're just seeing hot girls, or you're seeing girls who you think would be receptive to your approach?
Hot girls that are solo was what I was seeing then.
Ah, yeah. Okay. This is an interesting point because I've talked to some day gamers in New York, and they make it seem that they make it sound like it feels quite unsafe in America. In Europe, I mean, like the New York day gamer was saying that in London, it's a lot brighter. There's more girls walking around on their own. It feels like you can just go and talk to so many more people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if in your city, does it feel sort of, there are some areas you would never go at night, or it's just like there are some areas and they aren't busy for long times?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've always been quite comfortable going anywhere. So I don't feel unsafe. But I did definitely notice when I was in Kiev, I worked with Krauser, I worked on some different kinds of ways of getting into set, right? And one of them was like tapping a girl's shoulder as I come around.
Yeah.
And that worked brilliantly in Kiev. It was like, all right, boom, because then you're right there at the distance. She stops and she's immediately like open. She's like listening. And then when I got back to America, I tried that a few times and like it was not good. You know, I had to immediately go back to doing to what Krauser called the YAD stop.
Yeah, I
a lot of space. Go ahead.
I found the same thing. So I also tried that in Kiev. And then when I came back to London, I think the first time I day gamed when I came back, I got an IOI from a girl. So I thought, okay, cool. Now it's time to run over. I was like lightly sort of tap her on the arm as they come by. And it was immediately like, oh, just the shock. And she jumps back like, what the fuck? So I think one of the key things you sort of alluded to there is the fact that in Europe, or we can say like in Eastern Europe, the girls are more expecting that a guy will come up and talk to them. That's the first thing. And that they have the confidence and the script to deal with a guy who comes up and talks to them. Because they know what to say. You know, like when you compliment a girl there, they smile and they say thank you. Or when you lead the conversation, they join in and they contribute things. Because even if they have a boyfriend, or even if they're uninterested, they're normally going to be polite and allow the conversation to progress. So yeah. when you were going back to America, how did you find the sets were like in comparison?
Oh yeah, man, sets are tough here because so I've been thinking a lot about that, and it seems to me like girls in Eastern Europe have it seems to be more like an identity issue, you know? So okay. Girls in Eastern Europe have like a solid identity. So they actually have like confidence and they're more normal, you know? They have that script, you know, that cultural, which is kind of funny because day game, no one should have a script for day game, but the girls have a normal script, which then you can take advantage of with your day game, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a...
Yeah.
It's like the, what do I say for a girl, like, what do they say if a guy starts chatting them up? Because we all have certain scripts for different parts of our life. Like, we have a script to you. Like, in England, there's always the cliche of saying, you say, like, you were to meet someone, say hello to someone in the queue at a coffee shop, and it was just very, you know, platonic, and it was not like a man-to-woman conversation. There's always certain topics you talk about. The weather, football, things like that. Very easygoing conversation. Whereas when it's man to woman, you know, then you have to have this different script of how to deal with events. But I get the impression that with Western girls, they don't have this script. The flip side then is that in your sets, you can't rely on them to give back to the conversation as much. I think there was like a Tom Torero podcast where he was saying something like, when you go into set in London or in New York, you have to be ready to do battle. Mm-hmm. So you have to, you know, have your opener ready, have your first stack ready, have your second stack ready, because you can't rely on the girl just giving back into the conversation and giggling and encouraging you to go along. So I don't know if you found this as well in Europe, is that the girls just giggle as you talk.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like, oh, I'm doing the right thing. This is good. I feel encouraged.
Yeah, dude, it's the best feeling in the world when you're day gaming.
it makes you feel really good as well, because it's like you feel like you can slow down. You know, you feel like you can play with them a bit more because you're not thinking to yourself, oh, shit, like, have I just said something so retarded and now she's going to walk off?
Mm-hmm.
So one thing, let's talk about this, is you were saying earlier about with European girls, so in Kiev, you were finding that they had more of a reliable signal. Yeah. Oh, okay, you're okay
there? Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I think it's still very mysterious to me, that kind of thing, you know, because it really does not exist in any way over here.
I think But in terms of the American girls, what I've found my experience in London is that you just have to escalate and lead and see where you go.
Mm-hmm.
I've had American girls where we've had kind of boring dates, but then I just led them back to mine and got the lay. Or I've had girls where it seemed on and then I took them back to mine, no lay. We've actually had an example here tonight. So I'm having to record this it's about 1:30 in the morning here. Mr. CC is probably mid-afternoon, just because of the time difference. And earlier on, I had a failed same-day lay with an American girl. And this is one of the things where I think, you know, if I was in Europe, or if, to be honest, if this wasn't with an American girl, I don't think we would have had... So we ended up having like 3 drinks over 3 venues. I don't think I would have got that far if she hadn't been American, because it seemed that this American girl didn't throw out the right signals. You know, if she had shown herself to be very uninterested, I think she would have just extricated herself from the situation, but she didn't. So with these girls, it's just so important to push ahead and escalate, really, you know, always lead back. I always tell myself, if I've got an American girl on a date, I always try and bounce her home.
Yeah, it's a good strategy. Because
okay, you're breaking up a bit.
It's like,
hey man, you're breaking up.
Kind of better now.
Yeah, here we go. So just say what you said. Hello.
Yeah. You got me now.
Okay. Yeah. So what were you saying?
I've had a similar experience with American girls because I'll be on dates. And I'll be kind of bored, you know, and then I'll just lead him back to my place and we fuck. And it's odd, man. It's like, it's very, like it's almost platonic, you know, it's like, it's very sterile. The dating here. Cause I'm not sure why this girl just fucked me, you know, it's like, she doesn't seem.
So with that,
you know, whereas in Eastern Europe, it was like, oh, this girl likes me, you know, like all the signals were there for the natural thing, right?
Yeah. So I think, for example, like, yeah, when it comes to say like the same day lay, like when I was in Kiev, I got a same day delay where I tried to get the girl back to mine. She wouldn't come in, but then she was like, let's go have another drink somewhere. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I know that she just wants a little bit more time to get used to it.
Whereas, oh, wow. So she straight up told you almost, you know?
Kind of, yeah. I think it was very perfunctory. You can read the signals. It's like you told, it's like you said. So this girl, I had opened her on, what is it called? Krashatic, the main street. And when I had said to her, let's go for a drink sometime, she said, oh, I'm going to be free in an hour. So you immediately just go, right, boom, that's going to be a same day lay, because girls just often, they don't offer themselves up for a date like that. Whereas I think that if an American girl had said to me, I've got, let's have a drink in an hour, I'd think to myself, okay, the chances are good, but I shouldn't put any money on it, because an American girl might just be acting completely randomly. She might think, oh, you know, we're just going to have a drink. It's going to be friendly and fun. So given the fact that American girls give off, say, like less signal, is there anything to do during your sets or on your dates that you think would be specific for them?
Oh, God, for American girls? Oh, man, I really don't. Like, so I've been going out lately and... fuck, man. Doing game over here is a little, what do you call it? It's like unoptimistic. It's pessimistic, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, because there's not a...
Do you feel like you haven't...
the girls are...
A constant supply.
Well, they do... Yeah, well, they act kind of randomly, you know? So there's no consistency to... There's nothing you can rely on. And it's like, all right, we'll just see what happens, you know?
Okay.
And something I really enjoyed in Kyiv was the romance that I got to actually have with the day game, because like I really enjoyed that, and I remember going on a few dates with a girl, and it building up, you know, it's like she was participating in it, and she was helping build the tension.
Okay.
And it was really nice because the connection felt really good. And American girls just don't know how to do that. They've got no concept of tension and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it's a sort of, once you have attraction and once you have a good vibe, then you can fuck, then it's on.
Yeah.
Okay, so would you say then that perhaps it's better to just assume the layer is going to happen and work on the vibe of the conversation.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say that's good.
Okay.
I mean, I'd
okay.
say, like, as soon as you have attraction with an American girl, I always just, I'll just try and kiss her as fast as I can.
Mm.
I just move really fast with American girls. And so if they give me speed bumps, usually I just next them. Because if they're giving me... Yeah, yeah, if they're, like, giving me an attitude and trying to make it difficult... They're not worth my time. like I don't really enjoy spending time with them already. So, whereas with the girls in Kyiv, if they pushed back, it was nice. They did it in a way that was like, oh, I'm down for the slow down here. You know, does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it's one of those. It's not a because the thing is like, there's a difference between. No, I don't want that. And no, I don't want that right now, but try again later. Because if a girl gives you a signal that tells you, I don't want that, then you just, I mean, like, at least for me, I immediately just go like, interest goes. And I think to myself, okay, now I'm fighting against a brick wall. Whereas if you feel like the girl is giving you a signal of like, try again later, it almost feels like you're using this skill set to get her. And, you know, we always want to feel that we're in control of the situation and that at the end of the day, if we get the lay, we think like, all right, we got the lay because we read the right signals and we did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess then in America, you're a lot more, you're filtering harder then. Because what you're saying is that if you tend to get non-compliance, then you think, you know, is this girl just trying to taunt me for attention or is she just here for free drinks or something or just for a fun distraction or something like that? So one question I have for you is, do the girls react differently to certain stats and assumptions and teases and things?
Ah, man, they don't react consistently at all to anything for me to be able to, you know, be like, all right, here is my way, you know. Basically, when I go out on dates here, I just, like, I've got no strategy. I mean, I go out, I try and just be the high-value guy that I am, right? And I watch for the signals, you know, and some of them are really into it. You know, if I feel like it's on, I'll move things forward.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel like it's off, I'll move things forward and then they won't go and then I'll just leave, you know?
Yeah. So it kind of sounds like, so I get the impression that the situation is very similar in New York. I know that a lot of guys in New York run what they call the Magnum first date model. There's a guy who runs a blog or Twitter account, Magnum PUA, and I think his style is he does online, so it's not day game, but what he does is, and there are some day gamers who use this style, but this guy Magnum I think just does online, and he what he'll do is have a drink for the first date, maybe only 45 minutes or an hour, and then he takes them back to the train station or wherever, you know, the meeting point. And then on the second date, he just says to them, oh, let's go back to mine just straight away. You know, he says, oh, you know, second date invite, come to mine, I'll make dinner. And, you know, perhaps this strategy, see, this kind of strategy, I don't think would do very well in Europe. And I even tried out for a few days. It didn't work well for me because I felt like the girl was under-escalated on the first date. She came out expecting to have like two drinks over some different venues and for us to get to know each other. Whereas this Magnum style was more like, let me get you on the first date to filter out any of the window shoppers. And then of course the second date invite straight back to his is, you know, a proposition for sex. So it could be something to try out for you is like, just get these girls out for one venue, one drink, escalate as hard as you can, see if they're down, And then if they're like really down, the bind temperature is really high, get them back to yours. Otherwise, a little push away, back to the station, back to the meeting point, and second date to yours. Maybe this would help to get around the problems that we see with American girls in terms of giving out just random noise, because let's get them off the fence. Let's see where they stand. It seems with American girls more than any other, you have to just, and we're coming back to this, you just have to escalate on them and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny you bring up that date model, because now I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And I've fucked all my day game lays have been first date or SDLs. And the only exception was a Moldovan girl who took three dates, and she did the Eastern European thing. Okay.
But I bet, was it worth it though for the three dates with a Moldovan?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was my first day game bang. So like I was pretty stressed out through the whole thing, you know, wondering about like frame and stuff and not just enjoying it.
It's like the first day game lay I got, I was like, once I got it, I just thought to myself, like, what the fuck just happened? I feel like I was not in control of that at all. It just happened to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're saying that the lays that you've had from day game have been same day lays and first day lays.
Yeah. Yeah, and every single one of them.
Yeah, and did they always feel like they were just on from the start?
Kind of. There was one where the approach seemed like, I didn't think she was going to text me back. Like, usually it's on right from the start. And then, just with one exception.
Okay.
But usually it's on and it just goes all the way. Or it doesn't. You know.
Okay. So maybe then, yeah. So, like, it's very good in America to have a very strong filtering strategy. So talking of filtering, because one thing that, if you're going to filter, then you're probably better off having like a polarizing style. So you have like a rock and roll style, right?
Yeah, it's pretty belligerent here in America.
Like, so I'm pushing it. What kind of clothes and out accessories do you go with?
Oh, you know, school rings, leather jackets. I got long hair.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, jeans, boots.
Mm-hmm.
That's very unpopular here in America too, because the other American guys that I know who do game are very, they do kind of the preppy style, you know, the pea coats and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, I was talking to another day gamer today about this on a Skype call, and I was saying to him, you know, if I was to pick out of the, like, for example, someone who was like a James Tusk kind of character, guy who is just like good looking, but he doesn't really polarize with his style. He's just like a good looking guy. is that most girls are going to pick him over myself or the guy I was talking to. So what I said to him was like, what we've got to be is a little bit more weird. We'd be a little bit polarizing. And 9 girls are going to prefer the kind of, just using as an example, the Tusk character. But what we're looking for is that one girl who really likes our style, who is going to be like, right, he is our night. Like, they would consider us to be their 10 out of 10 or something.
Yeah.
And that really feeds in as well into that kind of filtering, because you're kind of putting yourself in front of the girl and trying to find the girls who like your archetype. And of course, on our side, we're just trying to strengthen that archetype as much as possible by wearing the outfit and having the job that matches it, or listening to the music, or just acting in a certain way so that the girl thinks, when she meets you, she thinks, oh yeah, this guy's the real deal. You know, she can tell a lot about us before we've even said anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's, that's worked really well for me. And I've liked how it works, you know, because I see how it's working for the other guys doing the James Tusk thing. And it doesn't seem like, I wouldn't want for my game to be going that way, you know, because they do a lot more dates and they get more lays than I do.
Mm, but okay.
But it seems like, but they don't get the fucking exciting stuff that I do, you know? Like, they think, like, I tell them stories of what happens with me, and they're like, what? It's kind of shocking.
How does that
SDLs and things, you know?
How does that work out then? If you're saying they actually get more leads, like, are they doing tons and tons and tons of approaches, or and how many is a lot of lays? Like, maybe we can go into some kind of stats.
Oh, my bad. I said tons, but they might get like 30% more lays than me. So not a whole lot. It might just be a fluke, you know.
Okay. And do you think as well that they are ending up in relationships with these girls?
Yeah, I do, because they're not, you know. The London guys are really sophisticated when it comes to game. Like, you guys are really have it figured out. Hmm. And the American guys don't get this kind of stuff. Like, they don't get R selection and K selection. They might do it naturally, you know, because you see, like, the RSD guys doing the hard R stuff. And, what they think is hard R. Those guys are kind of ridiculous, in my opinion. and then you have a lot of like K type guys. What was I saying? American guys, though, they don't think about it. They're still trying to use little tricks to work, you know. They're still talking about how they were just aware of frame in this one situation and stuff, and it's like, It's very basic. It's very sticks and stones. It's not they don't have a meta awareness like the London guys do.
I see. Okay, so final question then for you, which is, where's your next travel plan?
Oh, man. Well, I'm really bummed that Kyiv won't work out, because I had a few leads there. But, I think the next place is going to be Croatia for me.
Okay, nice one. Yeah. And are you going there this year, or is this in the future, far future?
Hopefully this summer sometime.
Fantastic. Yeah, so I haven't been to, I've not been to Croatia before, but I'm sure I'll have to get there at some point. And get more into the Balkans.
Okay. Are you going, where? What part are you going to? Lithuania?
No. So, just for the listeners, Kaiser and I are going to Belgrade in May. So there'll certainly be posts up on my blog about how that went, and if there are any lays or anything. Mm-hmm. How long are you going to Zagreb for?
I'm not sure yet. I think I want to meet with Jimmy Jambone. So that's why. Okay. And I think he's going to be there. So, but if I can swing it, I'd like to go for like a month or something.
Fantastic. Yeah. I've never done a trip like that before, but it'll be really interesting to see how you do, you know, especially being able to spend a month there, and you can go on like first, second, third dates. You've got all the time to get things sorted out.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we wrap up the podcast, I'm trying to make a thing out of it to ask the guest at the end of the podcast, what would be the crazy cold PUA special? If there had to be, what would it be?
Man, so tell me if you do this. I really like spitting in girls' mouths.
Fucking hell.
Is that something you do?
only my girlfriend, because I love her. So no one else.
Man, so yeah, so over this last year, I've spit in a lot of girls' mouths, you know. I just do it, like, I don't even think about it, I just do it.
Just,
and
in the street, just walking down the street, just like a sniper. Boom.
Yeah, man. you know, like, you know, when you really start making out with the girl, that's when I do it. And and it's funny, because I think it's definitely lost me a few, probably what would have been lays, but I've also got some great reactions from it. Like this one girl, basically this one time, I'm making out with this girl in like an alleyway after our first date, and I spit in her mouth.
Okay.
And she goes, sorry, what's that?
And how did she react?
Oh, she goes, she's like, did you just spit in my mouth? And I was like, and then she goes, I haven't been this attracted to someone since I was 12. Yeah.
Well, there you go, listeners. If you want girls to be attracted to you like 12-year-olds, this is what you got to do. And stuff. Okay. Yeah. So, as always, I will put Mr. Crazy Cog's Twitter handle in the show notes. I believe it's at Crazy Cog PUA.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And if you can please consensually engage in that activity and let Mr. Crazy Cog here know about the statistics that you can gather, and hopefully we can put together a nice body of data and we can review it at a later date. Because let's face it, this is what people are interested in. So let him know.
Yeah, tweet me. Tweet me plus ones when you do that. That'll be not a notch, but if you spit in her mouth, that's a plus one.
That's like a half. That's a plus half. Yeah. If you get two of them, that counts as plus one. Fantastic. Okay, man, that was episode number 4 of London Day Game Podcast. Over and out.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Thomas. Bye.
Thanks.